Now preparing.
Tuning into Games of Radio.
The voices. The stories.
The experience.
The women behind the mic.
Like you've never heard before.
Right here.
With the one and only Nudia.
Dames of Radio. The women behind the mic.
Hey, thanks for listening. On this episode, we are talking with Irma Blanco from Colon 99.9 in Riverside, California. Irma has over 2 decades of radio experience, and she was gracious enough to share some of it with us.
I was reading on online that you refer to yourself as the original gossip girl.
I think someone gave me that name a long time ago and it just kind of stuck. But it's actually came from the word chisme, which is gossip in Spanish. And years ago, I used to do the chisme report. So, I forgot what station that was. It was probably Mega, is when we started doing the chisme report, which is now, what is Mega now? Is Hot, which is now Real. Oh my gosh, it's so confusing. So I started the chisme report, which was funny because the Latinos in the audience understood what I was talking about, and they would call me La Chismosa and the original Chismosa, so they got it. And then a lot of people who didn't understand it, they're like, who's that girl that does the cheese report? Why does she call it the cheese report? Like, they couldn't wrap their head around it. So we stopped using the word because we felt it was kind of not encompassing our entire audience, which bummed me out because I really liked it. But the name just kind of stuck, and then they just kind of made it more American and then called me the original gossip girl. But it was technically La Chismosa is where it came from. Yeah.
So you're the original Chismosa.
Yeah, sort of. I don't know. I'm not the first one to invent the wheel, but I love doing it. I've always loved doing it. Yeah.
Is it hard to keep up with all the new things that are going on in Hollywood and with celebrities? And
no, because they make it easy. They do something stupid every day, so it's great because I can always find something that someone did, or something fun, or something silly, or sometimes something really meaningful or whatever. So there's always something going on. You can always find a story, and there's so many ways to get it. I mean, when I first started doing this, you had the newspaper and you had your Us Weekly that came once a week, or your People, or your tabloids. We'd wait Thursday nights. I had a producer once who lived near LAX. So an interesting thing that I learned back then is, so we'd all get our magazines, all those tabloids come out Friday on the newsstands, but LAX gets them Thursday night because people are traveling. So we had a producer who used to hang out at LAX to get all the latest stuff so we would have it before Friday when everyone else got it. Because then they would fill the news, they would fill the stands on Friday morning. So you wouldn't get it until Friday afternoon sometimes. So we'd always try to get it early. So used to just have to thumb through magazines and try to get new stuff or watch the news and see if someone happened. But now it's everywhere. I can if I read a story about, say, Ashton Kutcher, and I'm not sure if it's true or not, I read it on some random website, I'll go to his Twitter and I'll say, oh, yeah, he did it. He was there. He was still. I even have a picture. I can post it. So, I mean, celebrities are making it so easy for us to follow them and to follow the truth, because for so many years, tabloids always made up stories or, you know, stretched the truth a little. And celebs are coming forward saying, no, let me be my own tabloid reporter. Let me tell you what really happened and put a picture to it. So it's kind of cool. It makes it really easy now.
Technology has also made it easier to connect with listeners, the most important thing a jock can do. But Irma goes above and beyond.
I'm almost oversharing. It's pretty sad because people will meet my daughter, Sophia, who's 8, and they'll say, oh, I've seen pictures of her on website. And I always kind of blush, and she does too. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I overshare. I do too much. But I think it's really important. I think it, for most of my career, for a big chunk of it, I should say, it was only those, 5 hours you were on the air, you can relate to the listener and let them connect to you, which makes them want to continue listening and, be your fan and be your loyal listener. You only have like 5 hours, 4 hours of a morning show to get them to connect to you and want to, follow you. Now I can have conversations with our listeners all day long, and it's actually even more personal because then they'll go home and go, I just chatted with Irma on, Instagram for like 20 minutes, or she liked my page or liked my picture. I love the fact that social media is there because I'm much closer to my listeners that way. It's fun. They're like friends. It's my friends.
You've been in the business for 24 years, so you've had an amazing career. And, most normal jobs outside of the radio industry, you could stay at one place for 24 years. But why do you think that's rare in radio, that people move around so much more?
Good question. I don't think it's so much that we're tired. It's twofold. It's either, you know, the station's making changes, the station's making, you know, a shift of format, a shift of talent, you know, they're shifting to a younger crowd, whatever it is, or new management decides they want a clean house. So sometimes you are forced to find another job. You know, there's a lot of stations that, you know, I worked at before that I'm like, gosh, that would have been great if I was still there. That would have been cool to say. But, you know, it was long ago and it's changed formats like 5 or 6 times. So a lot of times it's out of your hands. And then sometimes you just get an offer you can't refuse. And you're like, you know what? I think I'm ready for this bigger market. Or I think I'm ready to do my own afternoon shift. Or I'm ready to do mornings with someone else. You know what I mean? So you take chances in your career because you just want to kind of, you know, move on. So I think that's a big factor there too.
Knowing when to change stations is another important part of being in radio. Although it could be jarring, Irma feels it's worth the risk.
When I was at KGGI years ago, I knew that they were bringing in a new morning show. I kind of knew they were about ready to get rid of me. They wanted me to stay until the new people were settled. And I was like, I'm not waiting for the you're fired thing. I want to go before it happens. Sometimes you just know it's coming along. So I got an offer for a job in San Francisco. So as exciting as it was, I didn't know San Francisco. I'd never even been. I've only seen a picture of the Golden Gate Bridge. Who knew what San Francisco was like? Oh, it's foggy there, isn't it? You know, I didn't know the city. I didn't know the people I was going to be working with. That's it. You know, I got an interview over the phone. So it was really scary, but exciting. And, you know, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to, you know, take this chance. Because if you don't take a chance, you'll never know. You'll always remember when you don't take a chance. You'll always look back and go, what if? What if I had? What if I could have? But you'll never know unless you try. So it is scary, but it's always been worth it for me. Even some of the bad choices I've made, which are very few, because I think every experience is a learning experience. So I don't think of anything as a bad one, just as a learning one. But yeah, no, you have to take a chance. You got to.
You've been to so many different markets all over the place, some of the top markets in the nation. I mean, Chicago, L.A., mm-hmm. San Francisco. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty big. Location-wise, what was your favorite place to be in?
Tough call. I love being in Southern California, whether it's Inland Empire or in LA proper, because my family's from here. I was born and raised here, close to my family. I've got a built-in audience, regardless of the format. My family always listened, and we're Cuban and we're massive, so I knew I can always bring, listen, hire me, and I'm bringing easily 250 Cubans that are going to listen to me every morning. But, you know, for different reasons, I loved Chicago. Chicago is a beautiful town, beautiful city. And very clean, smaller, nicer New York. And I just loved it. And I met my husband there. So I fell in love and, you know, have, you know, married my husband thanks to living in Chicago for 4 years. So I have a soft spot for Chicago, which was a beautiful. And some of my best friends, still my best friends, I met while working in Chicago. So that town really has a nice soft spot for me, too.
And how important do you think it is to have a good partner? I mean, you know, husband, wife, when you're in the radio industry, how important is that factor?
It's very important. You need to find someone who's, what I love, it's so funny because a lot of people will say, oh, so you got, you know, I've seen people I haven't seen in a while. They're like, oh, you got married. Is he in the business? No, thankfully he's not in the business. He's in a completely different one. And that's why it's great, because then we have something to talk about that doesn't bore each other. Although I have friends who are married to not only other people that are in the business, but some are partners on the same show, and they make it work. I don't know how, but they make it work. They see each other all day at work, then they go home and see each other. I don't know how they do that. But with my husband, I think it's really important to find someone who gets what you do, gets that it's all for show, it's all for fun, and gets that you have weird hours, and also gets the whole jealousy thing. There's a lot of that drama I've seen where, you know, you'll see a, you know, celebrity come in and I'll take a picture with, you know, someone, you know, any other person. I've known other people whose spouses have gotten jealous, like, why are you so close to Rick Springfield? What's going on? You're like, really? Like, I have a chance with Rick Springfield. Give me a break. I don't want Rick Springfield. I just want a picture with Rick Springfield, and you're the one I married, you know? So, like, I know people who get, whose spouses who are not in the business get jealous of that, or listeners who come up and whatever. My husband has been nothing but proud of what I do. He finds it fascinating still, and we've been married 12 years and we've known each other for 20. He still finds everything I do fascinating, my business fascinating, and he gets it. And I don't air any of my family stories unless I have it approved by him. Thankfully, he's one of those guys that doesn't care, but I'll always swing it by him like, hey, by the way, remember when you lost Sophia? Remember when you messed up our daughter Sophia's hair for picture day and she looked horrible? He's like, yeah, I'm going to mention that on the air this morning just so you know. So, like, I always run things past him, but he could not be more supportive and more aware of what my business is and supportive and just loves that I do what I do and that I love it.
Irma didn't start thinking about a career in radio until she read about it in one of the most unlikely of places.
Glamour magazine. I know that seems crazy, but I was going to Citrus College in Covina, Azusa area, and just kind of wasting my time and my parents' money and like, you've got to go to school. It's after high school. I was like, all right, well, I'll go to Citrus College like everyone else is going. And I remember thumbing through, I was sitting in the lounge at the school and I was thumbing through Glamour magazine, and in the back pages, there's like fashion magazine, fashion schools and all that stuff. And one of those articles was a radio school, radio broadcasting school. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I mentioned it to the counselor and she's like, well, let's look them up and make sure they're real and not some guy in, you know, Jacksonville taking people's money or whatever. So thankfully it was a real school, it was accredited, and it was a broadcasting school. And so it was in Fort Lauderdale, and I told my parents, and I had three older brothers, some who had gone away to school, some who didn't, and they just knew that I needed to go away to school. They didn't think I was going to be gone for 10 years, but they knew I needed to go away to school. When I moved away from home, my mom always said to me, oh, you're going to be gone forever, you're never coming back. And I'm like, no, I'll always come back. Because this is where I want to grow old. This is where I want to start a family. This is where I want to, you know, buy the home and do all of that grown-up stuff here. I need to go away and get started on that, and then I'll come back. Because I knew that LA is where I wanted to be. I want to be here in Southern California. So they were all for it. And I'm the youngest, the only girl. I was shocked that they were cool with that. And then I applied, and everybody got in. I found out later. I thought I was like a big deal. Like I sent an audition tape and everyone got in. But it was awesome. It was great. It was a great experience. And it was, you know, a year course. But, you know, it was just a trade school. But it was fun. And it started my career. So I thank Glamour magazine for putting that out in there.
Shout out to Glamour.
Yeah, and exactly.
What was your first job in radio?
My first job in radio, let's see. It's a company that still exists, although I believe Clear Channel, which is now iHeartMedia, purchased them. But they used to be called Metro Traffic, and there was one in Miami, and I worked the board. Now, when you go to a traffic center where traffic like cars and stuff, which I still do, there it's all computerized, and you see all the counties, and everything is written, and you know all the codes. But back in Miami, where I worked, it was a tiny little office, and they had a big dry erase board, and there was four reporters in there, four guy reporters. I wasn't even on the air. Four guy reporters, and I would call the CHP, the Miami Police Department, get traffic accidents, and write them on this big dry erase board. And that was my first job, is I used to write it on a dry erase board and then keep calling these guys every 15 minutes to find out if the accident had changed or cleared or if there was a backup or whatever. That was my first job in radio, was doing that. And then the first job on air was at an all-news station. They used to be a talk station, and they had just switched formats to all news, and they needed a midday traffic reporter. I was probably 20, and I was the only one that was there in the middle of the day who had experience in traffic, and I was supposed to do a minute traffic report. My minute traffic report was probably like 19 seconds long. I was reading it so fast. I was so nervous, and my program director came to me. He's like, that was great, kid. Slow down. Next time, slow down. You just zip through that. I go, I was so nervous, and then I just kind of – that was it, and then I just kind of fell in love with traffic, so I do a lot of traffic reporting now, still.
And when did you switch over to the music side of radio?
I did that with KGGI, actually, yeah. I was working in Orange County at another traffic company. They were called AirWatch. That's what they were called, AirWatch. And I was doing traffic for a bunch of stations, different day parts and stuff. I worked every day part. It didn't matter. When I was in my 20s, I was like, sure, I'll work. Midnight, sure. 2 a.m., no problem. Never say no. I never said no back then. And I was filling in for The Morning Girl, and they just liked the way I had a rapport with these guys. And they were like, hey, you know what? We could use someone who comes in studio and does, like, you know, I didn't do traffic there, but I did the gossip report. I did they're like, we could use a female voice. We could use that female sidekick. And that's how it started. I came and I interviewed and I got the job. Yeah, my first radio station job, like, you know, music kind of station, was KJGI.
The radio industry encourages people to switch jobs all the time, and with a new job comes new coworkers. Getting used to the change isn't always easy.
It's hard, but I have kind of made a career of acclimating myself to different people's personalities. I should be a shrink. I should have been a shrink in my other life, because you really have to kind of hone in on that person, find out what makes them tick, listen to them on the air, and when they have their pauses, when's a good time to jump in, if they like when you jump in on their conversation, if they don't, you can always tell, but you have to be really hypersensitive to the other person who's the host of the show to see where you fit and where you do, and you want to get in and out quickly with your comment, with your joke, with your punchline, with your answer, whatever it is, because you also have to show respect to the person whose show it is as well. So you want to let them know you are an important part of the show, you are valuable and your word is valuable, but that you're not trying to steal the focus, because, you know, I love every guy I've worked with, every single one of them. I adore them all, and I've learned so much from all of them, and they're all different personalities, but they have massive egos, and every guy will tell you that. This just is. This radio, we're just full of egos, and you have to be really hypersensitive to them, because you don't want them to feel like you're stepping over them or trying to take over. You're just trying to help them and enhance their show. So, you know, it is what it is. They'll laugh at it, too. Every guy I've worked with is like, yeah, it's true, we do. Yeah, we do. But it's because because they're perfectionists and they want the best for the show. Your name is on it. So, yeah, I've learned to acclimate myself with different, you know, guys that I've worked with. And I think I've done okay. I'm still friends with most of them, so that works out okay.
And normally in radio, the male is the host and then the female has always had the kind of sidekick role. Why do you think it's worked out that way and women haven't been the host and the men have been the sidekick?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know. For me personally, I've always preferred to be the and Irma Blanco. And honestly, here at Cole, it's the first time my name has actually been a part of the show name. I've always been a part of, you know, John London in the House Party or Valentine in the Morning. I've always been a Mancouse Morning Madhouse. I've always been a part of someone's show. I've been the next name you mentioned. Irma Blanco's right there with you because I'm the female co-host. I'm always the first one mentioned. But I've never been in the name. Only here at Cola is the first time they've actually made it Jesse Duran and Irma Blanco on Cola. So I'm on everything. It's the first time. It's kind of exciting. It's a little overwhelming. But I don't know why that is. You know, it just kind of is. I think there's a lot of really strong, amazing women in the business. But I don't know why. I don't know why that's happened and we've kind of settled for that. I don't know that a lot of women are upset about that. I feel like they just, at least I don't, I can only speak for myself. I still feel fine. I still feel like I have enough time to say what I need to say, to get my point across, to get fans, to endear myself to them, to connect with them without having to have, you know, my name on the billboard. Although it's kind of cool.
And what would be your advice to aspiring young women that want to get into radio about coming into the industry?
Be yourself. Be honest, be flexible. So while I'm saying be yourself, know that you might need to kind of mold yourself to kind of fit the situation every once in a while. Stand up for yourself and have fun. Radio is supposed to be fun. And the business has sometimes gotten too serious and too corporate and too whatever that it doesn't, you know, sometimes you miss out on the fun. And it's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be fun. And if you've got the right place, you will have fun. Yeah.
And, okay, last question. So if you could pick one song to describe your life, you know, the theme song of your life, what song would you pick?
Off the top of my head, Good Times. Just seriously, that would be one, because it's been a really good time. I've had a really good time for 20-something years, almost 30 years now. So I'm happy. I'm good.
This interview has been a good time, so that's pretty.
Oh, good. Yeah, you always want to have a good time and enjoy it.
And thank you so much for being a part of this and for sharing your time.
Thank you. Thanks for asking me. I'm flattered. I can't even tell you. I'm super flattered. Thank you.
And we'll go ahead and we'll have you take us out.
Hey, it's Mira Blanco with Cola 99.9, and this has been Dames of Radio. I like that, Dames. The women behind the mic. Tune in Fridays at 8 o'clock.
Hey, it's Evelyn Arivas.
Hey, this is your girl Bianca.
What's up? It is Yessi Ortiz from Power 106.
Hey, this is Alex.
Hey, what's going on? It's Sina hanging out at 97.1 AMP Radio with your girl Nudia. And this has been Dames of Radio, the women behind the mic.
If you love what you heard so far, don't forget to subscribe. Also, follow us on Twitter at Dames of Radio.
Damesofradio.podomatic.com.